Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio greetings. Welcome inside. Happy Friday. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Steve DeSager in for Harmon tonight. And we have a huge night in Major League Baseball trade deadline. It has been that kind of trade deadline. We had the big trades last night, more of them today. The Mets get Javi Baez, and apparently they still aren't going to be happy until they give away that lead in the NL East. We had the Giants making a big move. It was such what we expected and what we hoped for at the trade deadline, considering last fall we had zero activity. Hey, we're only playing 60 games. I don't know we want to trade for 30 days. It is a big, big day, which we're going to get to coming up in a couple of seconds. But first, this news just in from the Olympics. Simone Biles has decided to withdraw from the event finals for vault and the uneven bars. She's going to continue to be evaluated daily to determine whether to compete in the finals for floor exercise and the balance beam. This from USA Gymnastics just a few moments ago. And for Biles, her story this week has been well documented after getting a case of what everybody knows now is the twisties. When you get in the air and you lose yourself and you panic and you think you're going to fall and really get hurt, it's difficult to get your confidence back. And this is what she's been dealing with now. And I'm not surprised that she's withdrawing for the vault and the uneven bars. These are events that are kind of playing into your worst fears of the twisties with what you have to do. I'm still thinking that she's going to compete on the floor exercise, which has been her bread and butter. She's got a few more days before she's going there. The balance beam, I don't think we're going to see. But the floor exercise, if she's going to do anything, that's going to be the one she does. But clearly here she is withdrawing from the vault and the uneven bars, going to continue to be evaluated daily to determine whether or not she's going to compete later on. This is an developing story as things are just starting to get going now at the Olympics in Tokyo. Steve, this is something that, you know, when this story first came out and I saw the knee-jerk reaction of Simone Biles is un-American, Simone Biles is quitting, all of these things. Now that we see the way this story has evolved, oh boy, man, I feel bad for those people. I hope that they can sit back and say, yeah, I can look at myself in the mirror and say, I did good radio or I did good television where I did this. It was clear that whether or not you agree with the issues that she has, that she had issues. And now it's turning out that, hey, she is scared when she is competing because of what happened to her. And look, it happens when people want to go crazy and have some red hot take when it's a sport they don't really understand. Because look, how many of us really understand everything going into gymnastics? How many people knew the term twisties before we heard about it this week? And we've been hearing more about Simone Biles. And it's something where, look, I think that you owe it more to the story, to the sport, to everything going on, to really understand what it is going forward. And now that it's evolved into a, oh my goodness, you know, she can't get out there. She's lost her nerve. You know, I use the Tom Cruise Top Gun thing. You know, can't get back in the saddle, can't engage. That's exactly what's going on. She's lost her nerve. And I don't know if she's going to get it back. I hope she does. And if it's one event that she's going to do it, it will be the floor exercise in the finals. But boy, you go back to the beginning of this week when it was, oh, I can't believe it. She walked out, she quit, she all. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, do a little bit more, insight on that before. Hey, I just want to be the first one out there and say how right. un-American she is and have the clicks. It's a little bit more sophisticated than that. And,
yeah.
if you disagree with her quit, okay, that I get. Hey, suck it up and go and do it. All right, I get that. But to sit here and back off and just go, oh, it's a black and white issue for this and she should be embarrassed. Wow. I mean, really, yeah. Now see how this is unfolded. You don't always have to be first with that. If some stories are like, you know what? Sometimes it's just important enough you talk about them. And then as they evolve, you want to seem smart. You want to seem like you know what you're talking about with things.
I don't see her competing again. Obviously, she's qualified in all four of these individual finals. So that's August 1st through 3rd. The problem she's having is involved in all four of those events. So even on the floor exercise, you know, the tumbling runs, three or four in a routine, I just don't see her competing this week. I think she's done competing. As far as what you mentioned, that people maybe without much knowledge and very extreme in the immediate opinion, it was kind of like, you know, Mike Ditka as your sports talk host, the most extreme of kind of suck it up. What, for me, made it allowable, if you want to put it to those hosts, they should have made it allowable, is that this is a dangerous sport. This isn't someone like they're trying to power through a bad hamstring in the 200 meters or something. This is someone who's physically leaving the ground, and people are all the time in competition injured. I mean all the time in this sport. It's like if somebody had a mental health problem in NASCAR. Well, then don't go 200 miles an hour. You know what I mean? This is a little different than some other sports. What the one reservation I had was when she, with a serious problem and a dangerous sport, came out, I don't want other people who are, for example, coming up through athletics currently to look at that and say, oh, it's okay not to power through it, you know? Well, guess what? You're not in gymnastics, and you're not the face of the Olympics, and you're not all of these other things. So find the balance between those things. Sometimes you do need to power through. In this, I'm very happy she did not.
You know, and when you compare it to, oh, this is Tom Brady coming, I'll just throw this out there. Tom Brady coming out in the middle of the Super Bowl, right? This isn't, that's the comparison that's made to something like that, is that Brady just deciding he doesn't want to play. You know, I went out there, I wasn't feeling it. You know, I wasn't really focused. I just wasn't feeling it. So you know what? I'm going to come out. You need somebody else in the third quarter.
If Tom Brady throws an incomplete pass, it's second down, okay? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. but what it more is it's, if you want to compare it to other sports, now that everybody really knows what's going on with Simone Biles, it's not an athlete just deciding not to play in the middle of the Super Bowl or the middle of the World Series. What it is, if you want to break it down in that way, it's Tom Brady in the beginning of the third quarter getting hit so hard, fumbling, turning the ball over. He doesn't really know where he is. His arm is hurting. He doesn't know that he can do it, and he is seeing ghosts. And he can say, you know what, I'm not ready to go back out there, and he needs some time to figure things out. Now, Tom Brady, who you have seen, and I've seen many times in his career, when you get around him, not so much him, when you get around him, mm-hmm. he is a bad quarterback. Some guys can throw under pressure in the pocket. He's not one of those guys.
Ask Michael Strahan.
You just get around him, and he throws early, and he throws low. That's Tom Brady's twisties, because that's the type of thing you're talking about is, hey, something happened to you mentally where, hey, I'm not in it because of my fear of being injured, or I don't have the confidence I can do what I'm doing now. It's something happens. It's not you just wake up and say, yeah, I'm not feeling it. She had a really bad vault, and that scared her, and she hasn't been able to come back and do it. And if you don't think there's something, an athlete's got an issue with that, that's a thing. That's a big mental thing. But when people don't understand sports, I want to be able to apply it, because I know football, I know baseball, I know basketball. I want to apply it and say, like, it's just like gymnastics. No, everything is different. All sports are different. The one good thing I think this week is everybody's learning more about gymnastics and how dangerous some of these things are when you go up and you're up in the air and you come down and you can land poorly, and that can happen. So that's a good thing, you know, that I've been seeing other gymnasts going, hey, wait, what she's got going on is this. This isn't you're just saying, you know what, I don't feel like it, I'd rather text on my phone. No, this is a serious thing that she has going on.
And how often have we seen in team sports where a guy is so either mentally or physically not right on the field, and he's hurting his team, and you say, why is he still in there? This would have hurt the team. You agree? If she had been in and tried to contribute to the team score, because of the way the scoring goes, three out, three scores are up, her score would have been awful.
Yeah, it's the same. Look, Devin Booker, and I keep going, poor Devin Booker, but this is what I go back to is, look, Devin Booker had to come out in the NBA Finals games because mentally he wasn't there. He was too wound up. He was fouling everybody, and it was, you know what, Devin Booker, you need to sit. That happens to athletes all the time. Athletes in any sport, hey, you know what, you got to come out and sit. A defensive back gets two pass interference penalties on him, come out of the game for 5 minutes. You need to sit. Mentally, you're not there. Okay, we need to get you back, get your confidence back. It so happens that way. Now, this is something that scared – Simone Biles to the point where, hey, I don't know that I can compete. And it's not like she's a Johnny-come-lately. We're talking about the best gymnast in the history of the sport who likes wearing goat leotards around. Like, she likes being the best, right? She doesn't like not being the best. She likes being the best. So this is not some, oh, look at this. It's a media creation, and we talked about her, and we built her up. And she's not this. No, this is the greatest athlete of all time going, hey, I just can't do it right now. And it just seems so bad. Like they're beating down on an athlete who just says, you know, I just can't do it. I don't have it mentally. Well, you have to find it mentally. Okay, there is a bit of suck it up. But then there's a point where, okay, you know what? You can't just tell somebody to suck it up and go out and do it.
But it's dangerous sport. And that's what people need never forget in this whole conversation. This is not, I go back to the track analogy, somebody who's not leaving the ground. You know what I mean? Somebody who, even if they pull their hamstring, they're not going to the hospital for, you know, you see where I'm going with this. So when we hear, okay, she's in the four apparatus finals, or would have been this coming week, that she had qualified for at the Olympics. Okay, now we know the event finals for vault, that's a no, obviously, because we saw her even attempt the vault in practice this past week. Uneven bars, well, they're going to say she'll continue to be evaluated daily. Great, great. But the other two are floor exercise and balance beam. So it's gymnastics. It's all dangerous. It all involves the exact thing that she's going through. And by the way, you mentioned her resume, which is phenomenal. What if the Summer Olympics, hey, they're delayed a year, and she says, you know what, I'm almost 25 years old. That's it for me. Can you imagine the opinion
going
of
going
she's
out
the greatest
like this
of all time?
She's 24. Usually people stop being gymnasts when they're 20.
Yeah.
You're 24. She's one of the old, you know, she's been around forever.
And waited
she's 24.
The extra year. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it really is. This is why I say, and now for the point of the next competition, is that being in the air and being high off the ground is a really big thing, right? This is where the twisties come from, and all the other events deal with you being off the ground, whereas on the floor exercise, you are jumping. I mean, look, she vaults herself off the floor and gets, you know, 30 feet in the air is amazing, but still at least you are on the floor competing. So this is why I'd say, you know, judging by if this is what it is, when you're not starting out off the ground, have to worry about a big dismount coming off of an apparatus where you're already in the air, and clearly that vaulting yourself in the air is the big thing. That's why I feel like, okay, the floor exercise, something she's done, you know, hundreds of times, best in the world at it. If she does anything, it's going to be that. Because I got to think, as an athlete, she's not going to want to leave these games without trying to do it one more time, because who knows what it's going to be next, right? It's the athlete who misses a whole season and wants to come back just for the final, you know, if I can just pitch in the last game of the year or the last week of the year so I don't ask myself questions about trying to come back for an entire winter. If I can just get over that mental hurdle and I'll be able to do it. Plus, if this is it for her, I think she wants to probably do one more. I think she probably do everything she can to do one more. So I'm thinking it's floor exercise or it's going to be nothing for Simone Biles holding out for the floor
exercise.
I'm sure
she would want to do two more, but I don't see her doing tumbling runs in the floor exercise. By the way, another analogy for sports. You remember who got the yips is Steve Sachs trying to throw to first base as a second baseman for the Dodgers in the 80s. Once again, and that was a very serious thing, and the only injuries incurred were, you know, the lady in the 10th row getting hit with the ball that was leaving the field all the time on the throw to first. That's nothing like the absolute dangerous sport of gymnastics. One thing that I didn't appreciate this week, and this may be a generational thing, she's in her 20s, but posting the videos now deleted of showing her with the bad landings on a couple events in uneven bars dismount, you know, with the twisting and the double back and all of that. And I feel like you're posting these just to try and prove, see, I'm terrible. Hold on. Let me videotape another one. See, I'm terrible. I can't go. That's the impression, and they have been since deleted, that I got on those two. I don't think she needed that for her case.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Harmon tonight. Phone number 877-99 on Fox. Again, Simone Biles will miss the next two events still. She could be cleared for the last two. This is a developing story. We'll bring you more as we continue on here tonight. Are you dealing with a dead battery? Then head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, and if you do happen to need a replacement battery, well, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.
Hey, Jason Smith, we got an Olympic update. Not only Dressel with the gold in the men's 100-meter butterfly final, but in the women's 800-meter freestyle final, yes, Katie Ledecky of the U.S., a gold there. There's still one more gold medal race in swimming tonight, our time, and that'll be a bit later, the mixed 4x100 medley relay.
Katie Ledecky has finally defeated the Terminator. It's taken three races. Titmus. She has finally won.
The Australian finished second.
Yes. So two big goals for the United States in swimming. Swimming right now, saving the United States in
track
the Olympics.
Track is just starting now, ladies and
boy.
Gentlemen.
But coming up next, we had a huge injury in the National Football League today. Is one Super Bowl favorite, still a Super Bowl favorite, Jay Glazer. Stops by with all the info you need coming up next. A visit with Glazed and Confused coming up right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, who is off tonight, Steve DeSager. In for Harmon. And, you know, this is what I like sometimes in the, you know, in the break, Steve, I can go watch an Olympic event. Like, you know, we had a break. I watched Caleb Dressel win the semifinals for the 50-meter freestyle.
Busy
came back
night.
To the show.
Busy night for him. By the way, there is basketball beginning. It's Saturday in Japan, and France is killing Iran in the fourth quarter, up 19. The U.S. men's basketball team plays again tomorrow morning, our time, against Czech Republic.
Yeah, so far, hopefully we get better results going forward, and it's just a case of, hey, you know, women's soccer and men's basketball needed a few games to warm up.
Did you see any of that women's soccer, the quarterfinal today?
Man,
that was a game.
I'll tell you what, and we're going to get to this because this was such a great game. Watching this, clearly the match turned when Alyssa Nair stops a penalty in the 80th minute. Otherwise, probably the Netherlands win and the United States women's national team is going home.
They were at the last Olympics at this stage, quarterfinal on penalty kicks.
Exactly. They were about to go home, but then she stops the penalty. And I'll tell you this, you know, being a soccer coach for a long time and following sport and knowing the sport the way I do, you show me someone who wants to take a penalty where they fill themselves up with stutter stepping and
Amen.
Pausing.
Yep.
And I will show you somebody whose chances of missing that penalty kick go through the roof. And that happens all the time. Sometimes it works, but most of the time, if the goalie doesn't move, you wind up panicking. You don't strike the ball right. And that's exactly what happened in save Alyssa Nair. You know, Alyssa Nair was able to push, and the United States goes on and they win in penalty kicks. I'm telling you, all the time. You watch that stutter step. I know, okay, you're not confident and you're just trying to trick the goalie. And because there's not many people that can make those penalties that, hey, I'm just going to pick a side and drill it. Even if you
blast
right,
yeah.
You're still not going to make the save. That's going to happen. And that's exactly what happened there for the women. You know, the survive and advance game, I guess you could say they had today in the Olympics, moving on to Canada. So we'll have more on this coming up in a bit, but right now, maybe you have noticed the Glaze Across America tour has continued just at Cowboys camp today with the Rams, where if you remember, Jay Glazer brought us information a few months ago that one of his insiders said Matthew Stafford was going to throw 130 touchdown passes this year. Glaze joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. That's at Jay Glazer. Glaze, happy summer, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. So good to be back doing this, man. Oh, my God. It's so good just to be around it again. Obviously, we weren't around it last year. So, man, it's God almighty. For between my ears, I love being around it. It's great.
What's the biggest change or something that you didn't think, I forgot about this or I'm used to this now because now it's back to what it had been?
No, I always knew. It's funny because a long time ago, Dan Quinn – says to me when I was doing Falcons camp, this is my 29th year doing this, 29th training camp. And Dan Quinn, about 5 years ago or something, I think like when Ballers is the hire, he said, why are you still coming around all these camps? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, it's kind of moved up and on from this. I'm like, dude, you guys have been my social structure for 20-something years. There is no moving up and on from this. Like, this is my this is my team. This is my family. Like, even though we're not, I'm not on your team, and you guys are on different teams, I need a team for, again, the struggles that I go through between my ears. So I love, like, man, it's, I knew last year I was going to struggle without it, and I did for a while. But this year, man, just getting right back in, it felt awesome. It felt great, because it really is, for me, it's a fraternity that I need. Even though I'm not in the NFL, I'm part of it. And, you know, again, these coaches and players I've known for, I've known a lot of these guys for, I was standing on the field today with a guy, Cedric Jones, who's a scout for the Rams. The Giants picked him when I was covering the Giants. First pick in the draft, their first round pick, I think, 96, something like that, 1996. And he and I just stand there talking old times, and that's, you know, I need things like that. So it's great. It was awesome.
All right, well, let's kick things off where you just spent some time at Cowboys camp. You always come with the big takeaways. What was your big takeaway from Cowboys camp?
Man, the guy, I just talked about Dan Quinn. And I think I was talking about it because they were talking about him so much that, look, they got all these weapons on offense. And, you know, the injuries they had in the offensive line last year, even if Dak didn't get injured, like, man, you can't survive with all those offensive linemen going down. And we're talking a lot about Dak coming back, but Tyron Smith coming back, like, that's the war daddy on that team. And that's, he's a huge difference maker. And Zach Martin coming back, that, I think, is going to be just as big, and no one's talking about it because we're all kind of looking at Dak. But then on defense, it's just like Dan Quinn is the most positive human being you'll ever be around in your life. Just so positive. And then last year, man, you can't build a culture. It's really hard to build a culture when you can't be in front of guys, put your hands on guys. Kind of, you know, it's a violent game. It's a game where you need everybody on the same page. That's why we're like Kevin Stefanski, what he did in Cleveland is so much more impressive. Because he built a culture without really being able to put his hands on guys like everybody else can. So I think this year now, it's just totally different, where they can get in front of people, they can, you know, be more emotional, they can get face-to-face, and you're going to build that culture. And Dallas is a different place than everybody else. Like, the attention they get, the backup freaking guard, the Cowboys, gets more attention than, like, the first baseman for the Reds. You know, or the starting pitcher for the Indians.
Jay, this is Steve. I know Jason referenced the Rams a bit earlier. I want to ask not about quarterback, but about the running back play, because that seems to me as an outsider a huge question mark going in. We saw two running backs on the field last year, but my goodness, no Cam Akers, and how is the coaching staff responding?
No, they're going with the young guys. They're fine because they love Stafford so much. Like, they are so all in on Stafford, and he is. He's a lot different than Goff. I love Jared Goff. His arm talent is phenomenal. But Stafford is kind of – there's probably just a few gangsters left in this league, like old school kind of guys. You know, and you talked about my insider before of Andrew Whitworth. He's one of them. And Stafford is another. And, man, there's not too many of them left, like old school kind of cats. And he's one of them. So they are – they didn't panic when the running back went down because they know kind of everything's going to go through Stafford. They were bummed because they loved Akers, and they absolutely thought this guy was going to be a star, but they're so excited about Stafford, they said, oh, we're going to go with these young guys first.
Jay Glazer with us here, Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Steve DeSager. So you said the word panic right there, Jay, and that's kind of what's maybe setting in a bit in Indianapolis right now after today. Carson Wentz hurts his foot, and the headline that really stunned me was that, hey, the Colts expect him back this season. And it's like, whoa, back this season? What are you hearing about what's happening? What's going on here?
Well, he's meeting with Dr. Robert Anderson, who's like the foot doctor for the NFL tomorrow. And you know, what I was told this morning, or earlier this afternoon, I should say, is it's something that's probably right now they're looking at 6 to 8 weeks and possibly could rush and can get him back there for week one. But no, they don't think it's season ending. They also said, look, this, like, they were so excited about Carson Wentz. So even if he's missing time, they're looking at it as a long-term thing, not, hey, we're just bringing him in for this 1 year. They think they're going to end up building their franchise around him like they want to, you know, what we're doing with Andrew Luck. So even if he got hurt right now, they're looking at it as a long-term thing. But they think, you know, they don't think it's too serious. And tomorrow they're going to decide, all right, surgery or we just rehab it and we can get, see if we can get back for week one. But again, you're 68 weeks out. So if it's 8 weeks, then it'll, you know, be more like week two or week three. But it's not like week 14. Not at this point.
It is not August yet, so does it mean anything if Travis Kelce was pulled out of practice and didn't practice today, or Dak Prescott might be on a, quote, pitch count when he resumes with the shoulder strain? Any of these guys, it's too early? We shouldn't read into any of this?
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. And you got, like I said, we have 8 weeks until the start of the season. 2 months, that's a long time.
Almost, yeah.
You can rehab for a long time. But no, guys are pulled out constantly. There's veteran days. I wouldn't put much into it right now. No, there will be guys who go down during camp, and there will be guys who go down, unfortunately, for the whole year. Absolutely. But, you know, if a guy gets pulled out and says, oh, we're going to rest him for a week, no.
Now, Jay, something I'm going to get outside of football with you here for a couple of seconds. You know, on the show with us, you have talked a lot about being the mental health warrior that you are, about mm-hmm. helping people, and everything you do with merging vets and players and Unbreakable is phenomenal stuff. And clearly the Simone Biles story this week from the Olympics is something that is front and center that involves mental health. For her, it's more, hey, I've lost my confidence because she had a really bad vault. Now I can't get back out there. She just pulled out of two more events just a little while ago. You know, what do you take away from this stuff, watching what's going on, when you've seen from Simone Biles, even though it is far away?
First of all, I want to say, you say mental health warrior. I only say mental health warrior because I fight it, because I fight my own demons, and I go through my own depression and anxiety. So it's not like I'm, oh, this knight in shining armor. I'm not. I go through it bad every day, and that allows me to talk about it because I do fight it every day. So that's, I just want to kind of qualify that. And man, it's a hard world out there. Listen, Michael Jordan said it the other day. He walked away from basketball because there's mental health issues, because he caved, because the pressure is too much. When you have that much pressure on you, it's hard. Now, Michael Jordan did it, and there's no Twitter. There's no social media. And, look, we see all day long, even when it's not about us. When you go on Twitter, you go on Instagram, you go on Facebook, you see this stuff, all this hate constantly. When we were growing up, we didn't see that. Maybe something happened during school or something, but it was over. Or your teacher said, hey, stop bullying this kid. It was kind of over, right? This is every minute of every day we're seeing it. And we're not conditioned. The human condition is not, we're not primed for that kind of hate all day long. And even when, the way people tweet at you now, that's the way they come up and talk to you now. It's a different world. Some dude came up to me the other day, just out of nowhere. Hey, Jay, I just want to know, want you to know, I believe in hate the UFC. Okay, man, thank you.
Wow.
And then he said, what do you think about the Conor McGregor fight? I said, what do you care? You hate him. Because I just didn't know what to say, so I just talked to you how I tweet.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Do I look like a dude that you come up and say something like that too? But that's how people talk to you. But so it's a different world, man. It's a scary world. So, yeah, a girl like this, with the weighted world on your shoulders, and you just – sheer and constant negativity, sheer negativity. This girl is the greatest who's ever done it. Are you kidding me? You can't take that from her. And the fact that people think it's okay to rip on her and take it from her, they got no idea. You have no idea the sacrifice that goes in to being the best. In order to be great, you got to be crazy to begin. And I'm saying that in a good way, right? So that's why I say in MVP, like, man, I'm messed up, but I'm good with my messed upness. I know my messed upness makes me great in certain things, great in areas. But also makes me struggle in others. But it pushes me, and I'm sure it pushes her also. But for people to get on her and bag on her and criticize her, how dare you? Are you kidding me? You have no idea the sacrifice that goes into it. And just because we're successful doesn't mean our hearts hurt any less when we get criticized, or she gets criticized, or people just think, oh, you're successful and you've made it and you're rich and you're, man, our wallets are not antidepressants. And even I've said that, people criticize me over that. Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. And I've been on both. I've been broker than broke and now do well. And, man, totally different problems. It does not – money does not help matters of the heart when your heart's hurting, or between your ears is hurting. And people just really – they don't understand it. They just think you're successful, hey – it comes with the territory. No, I think a lot of people who are successful are probably more emotional than others, so it probably hurts them most. So, man, get this girl some freaking love. She's representing this country, won an awful lot because she pulled that. And I don't think she caved during the event. I think it was building up. And if you see some interviews going into it, I wish they kind of – so maybe they did see it. I don't know what happened. But when she's talking about, hey, what's your favorite time? Well, my off time. Or when she says, I have the weight of the world on my shoulders, people just kind of take that as like a cliche term. It's not a cliche term. Having the weight of the world on your shoulders, it sucks. It's hard. And then when you do make it, let's say, or you do more, you're successful. You got your family. You got other friends. You got all these people who put their weight on your shoulders also. And then they expect certain things from you. You just don't want to let anybody down. And that pressure of not letting people down, that is awful. It's such a hard thing to deal with. And I wish people would understand it more. I don't think they will. So I think you'll see more and more athletes start saying, you know, I got to go handle myself. Because to be honest with you, a lot of times people just power through it. And, man, I have panic attacks before shows almost every damn week. And I call it my abuser. And I wrestle with my abuser every week. Every week before a show, I go through it. And I wrestle with my abuser, just hoping that the lights don't go out. And no one's going to have compassion for me. And whether they do or not, whatever, you know, if I said this right now, if I tweeted it, I guarantee if it got 1,000 tweets, 800 of them would rag on me for being a wuss. So, you know, until the rest of the world kind of gets a grasp of it and starts showing empathy for each other, you're probably going to see it more. But Simone Biles, God bless you. I'm praying for you. I'm pulling for you. And the rest of the world should too, because what she has done for us already and what she's done for herself, she deserves to be happy.
NFL on Fox Sundays, Jay Glazer, all the great stuff he also does, merging vets and players, Unbreakable. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Fantastic stuff. Keep enjoying the Glaze across America, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, yeah. Love you guys.
You too, man. See you, Jay. Have a great one.
That was good.
How about that? Some stuff from Jay Glazer. I almost have panic attacks before I go on the air every week. I mean, that we've heard that. Erin Andrews has told us before, every time she does her first hit, she almost gets sick, physically sick, before she goes on the air doing her first hit during an NFL game or whatever game she's covering. It really is eye-opening when you see things like this and hear the stories that go into it, and you go, boy, sometimes it is really difficult and is really hard for something that you see every day and go, yeah, they've been doing this for 20 years. No, still after 20 years, sometimes people struggle with doing things they've done 1,000 or a couple of thousand times.
And if you have people that have become so successful, they become a brand, if you know what I mean. So social media is obviously a business aspect of that. And then what he mentioned, all the negative aspects. And then how do you balance all of that? Man, you know, there's a lot of people want to be rich. Not a lot of people should want to be famous. There's just too much that comes with it.
And also the big NFL note that he gave us, it looks like it could be 6 to 8 weeks for Carson Wentz, not a season-ending thing, but obviously 6 to 8 weeks in July is okay, beginning of the season-ish,
yeah.
The first 4 weeks. Maybe they just trade for Nick Foles. Yeah, just come in. I mean,
just be done with it. Yeah,
I
sure.
I know. By the time I got to Twitter today, all the Nick Foles jokes were done. But I said I got to say it at least once on the air. Just
funny.
Trade for Nick Foles. That's all you got to do.
So if we're not starting till September, and we're not, but he's still got to see a foot specialist. So even the team is not saying for sure, okay, he's got to have a minor procedure or anything like that. We're early on in the process.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Harmon tonight. And coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to give you my favorite trade deadline move of the day in Major League Baseball. And here's a hint, it's not the Mets. Even though I love what the Mets did, it's not the Mets. But today was a day, Steve DeSager, where you have to always understand when a team wins the World Series and you hear the phrase, this team is set to dominate for years. They could be the best team. Who's going to unseat them? And then you realize that, oh, things happen really fast. The Chicago Cubs completely dismantled their team today. Now, granted, it's been 6 years or 5 years since the World Series. But, oh, they're so young. They got everything to dominate for a decade. They're going to be so good. Yeah, now they're done, and they're completely starting over. The Nationals just won the World Series 2 years ago. Mm. They're set. Look at this lineup. It's all-stars everywhere. Scherzer, Strasburg, they're going to be great. And now they've given everybody away. Okay, in baseball, it's really easy to suck. All right, you need so many things to go right because you have so many moving parts. You know, I always laugh every time. Oh, they're built. Yeah, for every one Dodgers, there's 100 Nationals where you catch lightning in a bottle for a year and you get as many good players having as good career years as possible. And then things happen because not all players turn out to be great. Some want more money and leave, so you lose players that way. The team falters, and eventually your window closes. So, you know, I feel like you say, this team is set to win forever. Ah, oh, now you just curse them. Now there's no way they can win. It's really easy to lose in Major League Baseball. In all sports it is. But when you hear, oh, they're so young, because generally the injury effect in baseball is the fewest of all the major sports. You think about guys being healthy all the way through. It just doesn't happen. I mean, look at the era of the Cubs. It's like, oh, the Cubs, they're an all-time team.
Well, in Cubs history, that does qualify as an era.
Well, that is true. That is true. But look at that. The Cubs were an all-time team. Look how great. And now here they are, never even got close again, and here they're breaking everybody up. The Nationals are saying, hey, it's only been a couple of years, but we realize we're done, so we're going to get rid of everybody and start over again. That's how it happens. It happens that fast in baseball.
Yes, it does. And the Nationals, I'm glad you brought that up. That's less than 2 years ago that they beat the Dodgers in a 10th inning grand slam to eliminate them in best of five, and then won the NLCS in a best of seven, and then won the World Series with a game seven on the road of that best of seven at Houston. It's just stunning. And the pitching was so consistently good and using starters out of the pen, it just worked. And so, you know, they're going to have Strasburg for years. This is great. And look at all the guys that are and now, I mean, except for the manager, literally almost nobody is going to be left about a year and a half later. It's absolutely stunning. And so Mike Harmon, Mr. White Sox fan, is not here tonight. Can we just say that if you call the Cubs an era, I think we're in the middle of a White Sox era. Do you agree that the White Sox are a legitimate team right now? And compared to White Sox history, this is going to qualify as an era, because the Chicago Cubs had like four great teams in a row. And, you know, they won one World Series, just like those Oakland A's teams of 30 years ago and on down the list. But don't you agree that this may be in that same town, ironically, starting where the White Sox are good, and not just for 1 year, but that doesn't mean they're starting like what you say. People go nuts and, oh, for many years, this team, look at the youth of the White Sox. That's okay, maybe, but history says maybe not.
Yeah, no, look, the Mets era may have had this year. Hey, we're in the Mets era. It may be over now. I don't know. We could give away first place. We had a three-month era for the Mets. That's how easy it is to lose. Coming up next, the trade I like the most is next, Fox.